It's summertime, and at my bookie, that can only mean one thing. It's winning season. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means free bets, super contests, Survivor, and more. At my bookie, winning season is all about your chance to win big. Bet the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, UFC, and then some. The craziest sports summer of your lifetime is here. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Invest in your intuition. Select from hundreds of future bets, or you can bet games in real time with MyBookie's live betting. Put that big brain of yours to good use. Use promo code BASEBALLAMERICA and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Thousands of cross-sport wagers, props, and parlays await. Sign up now to bet with the best and celebrate your victory. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie.
Hey, welcome to another Baseball America podcast. I'm senior editor Josh Norris, and with me today is Texas Rangers right-hander Ricky Venasco, who's at the Rangers alternate site in Texas. How are you doing, Ricky?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Living life out here in Texas. Can't beat it.
So I've got to ask you, you were drafted in 2017, correct?
Yes, sir.
How much have you changed as a pitcher between amateur ball when you were drafted and now? What's the difference between 2017 Ricky and 2020 Ricky?
There's a lot that has shaped me to who I am, the pitcher I am today. Obviously, the mentors that I've had in this game are unbelievable and have really put a great influence on me. I was young coming out of high school. I never truly had a true pitching coach, especially where I'm from, a very, very small town. So definitely getting the pro league and, learning everything and seeing the older guys do it. And I got to say, like, what shaped me today is like watching the older guys, looking up to them and trying to be the best I can be, every day and working hard and just going out there and, giving it my all.
So when you talk about the older guys, and I kind of cringe as I ask that, who are the older guys to you?
We have a ton of huge prospects out here. Obviously I'm fortunate enough to be out here at the alternative site where there is some big league guys that, have a lot of big league time. And I get to sit down with some big league catchers and just, pick their brain every day. And we got Spies out here. We have DeMarcus. We got Phillips. We got some really, really good guys out here that, teach a lot, and just by the way they act and the way they hold themselves. So it's really awesome to watch.
So what you talked about, you said you didn't have a pitching coach truly growing up. So how did you develop to the point where you were drafted, even if you didn't have a pitching coach?
I just kind of, went out every day and kind of figured stuff out on my own. I was very, very, skinny, lean, and I just was a lot of raw talent, and I just kind of went out there and pitched. I was more of a thrower, honestly. I just kind of threw the ball hard over the plate and had no clue where it was going. So, I just never had a true pitching coach or someone like that sat down and talked to me or, went over my mechanics or helped me develop my pitches. It was just like me going out there and throwing the ball over the plate as much as I could.
So when did you realize that you had a chance to turn pro?
My senior year, our preseason game in Dunellen, when there was about 50 scouts behind the little cutout concession fence, and they were all there for me, and it was an eye opener. It was like, every kid's dream that came true sitting right in front of your face. So,
were you nervous at all that day?
Oh yeah. For me, we've only had a couple of guys drafted out of my town, and it's just like it's a big thing. And so it didn't happen often. Not many people get the opportunity to throw in front of 50 pro scouts on their preseason game of high school, at 17 years old. So it was amazing.
Did you undergo a velocity jump between junior and senior years that may have piqued their interest?
My junior year was around probably – that's when I hit my growth spurt. So I was around like 85, 86. And then my senior year is when it you know, I put on a little bit of weight. Let's not get crazy, but I finally found the weight room too. But I probably jumped up to 90, you know, when everything clicked, it was probably 94-ish. So, I mean, when I got scouted, and, I mean, if you ask Brett, and it's, I love him to death, he's my area scout, he'll say that, you know, when everything came in motion and everything was together, it was, you could see the potential in my arm, you could see the potential in my body of what I had, you know, I could bring to the Rangers and help us win, so.
So how has your arsenal changed? I mean, you were a thrower back then, as you say. So you had a fastball. What did you have to complement it back then, and what do you have now?
To complement it back then, it was just a really, really bad curveball. I mean, it was almost more slurvy-ish, but I threw it hard. So, I mean, in my division, in my high school, all I really needed was my fastball. I mean, I got my outs. I never really had to, you know, pitch with a secondary. It was almost like, all right, I'll just throw it in the zone, like let them see I have it, and then I'm just going to keep blowing fastballs by guys the whole game. So, but now I've developed, you know, I have my fastball, I have my curveball, which I throw at, you know, 84, 87, which is unheard of. And then I have my changeup, which is still kind of hard. It's like 90-ish. And then I've been working on a slider. So this is around 88 to 90.
So why the slider? What do you believe it's going to help you with down the road? Or what do they believe it's going to help you with down the road?
I mean, honestly, right now, it's more of a development thing, because I have my fastball and my curveball, which is my up-down play, because my curveball is a 12-6, so I can play up in the zone very well with my fastball and down in the zone very well with my curveball. And then my changeup is almost just like a setup pitch. I throw it, you know, with the same intent as my fastball, so it's very deceiving. And then the slider is helping me work the opposite way with, you know, it complements off my changeup. It follows the same tunnel. It falls off, but it's been more cuttery-ish lately. So we're trying to get the more of, like, you know, the straight and the down, almost diagonal action out of it. So it's just a work in progress, but I mean, I'm very happy with it. It's hard. It shows signs of promise. So it's a fourth pitch. So I mean, going to be a star in the big leagues, you got to have, you know, a little bit more than just three, so, especially nowadays.
So the fastball, ideally, you want to work up top of the zone, and you want to pair it with the curveball down. And then the changeup and the slider are going to allow you to work east-west, correct?
Correct. Yes, sir.
So that's kind of how you want to do it. You want to make X's in the strike zone if you can. You don't want to just work kind of one quadrant or two quadrants. So that fastball of yours, I mean, it sometimes, you know, people could see a fastball is a fastball is a fastball, but there are different properties to different fastballs. Like, what, when you look at the Rapsodo readouts or the whatever readouts you guys have, what does it tell you about your fastball and the way it plays?
So the reason, you know, I throw up in the zone with my fastball, or I get away with it, is because the vertical lift on my fastball, it's very, very true. I throw it at 100% spin efficiency. I've been up to like 25 inches of vertical movement with it, which is absolutely insane. I don't have a lot of spin rate on it. But I mean, just, it's, I guess the way that my arm slotted and the way it rolls out of my hand, that's just very, very true. It's very explosive. It's like, I've been told it gets on hitters very, very fast. So it's very easy for me to, you know, get it by guys or get that, looking for that late punch out up in the zone because of it, you know, missing bats by an inch or two. So.
And is the curveball with the complement to that fastball, is it a high spin rate pitch that kind of falls out of the sky like that? Or is it, how does it
work? So my curveball is, like I said, throw at about 84 to 87, and it's got, I think, roughly around negative 15 inches of vertical movement. So on a good day, you know, with my fastball, it's around 21, 22, and we're talking about negative 15. I mean, it's hard to cover both, you know, up and down, especially when they both look the same coming out of the hand. So
that's really interesting. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do this. I've watched a few of your starts in the Northwest League and a little bit in Hickory, and you throw that fastball a lot. I mean, is the the percentage of that pitch, I want to say 75-ish even percent? Or I mean, how often do you throw your fastball?
So, I mean, lately, you know, as I've been growing, I've been learning, you know, I have to be comfortable throwing my other stuff in the zone, you know, early, pitching behind and stuff. So lately, I think I've been throwing it about 55% of the time, which was a complete turnaround from last year. I think my fastball percentage was like around 75, almost 80. But then, I mean, last year I only had two pitches, which was my fastball and my curveball, and then a really, really terrible changeup. So, but now it's finally evening out. It's being more, you know, dependable. I don't have to always depend on it, and, you know, I can get away with other stuff now, and it's helping me throw my fastball easier in counts and being able to get away with it more because, you know, I am spinning curveballs in the zone for strikes. I am throwing changeups in the zone for strikes. So,
so you're out at the alternate sites. What's a day like there? I mean, I know it's probably not really the same as a minor league season. You're obviously not traveling at all. But what's a normal day like for you when you're, you know, like on a day where you're going to throw or a day where you're not going to throw? What's the routine like?
So usually, you know, days when we play catch, we're in the old stadium and they ended up turning it into an XFL field. I guess the XFL team went out of business, so now they turned it into a soccer field. So it's all turf. It's very, very hot during the day. But we usually get there around, you know, 8 a.m. We check in, depending on whether or not we have to take a corona test, which is just a saliva test. We check in early, we take the saliva test. We just, you know, go to our locker, change out, go out to the turf field and stretch and throw. And I mean, basically that's it. We're not really there long. They try not to, you know, keep us around each other just for protocol reasons. And then on, you know, side days, sometimes we're at the old field, and then when the big league teams, not home, we're fortunate enough to, you know, go over there and use their facility and their mound. So it's been really, really nice.
How many innings do you think you have this year, or do you know you have?
So I think I left Arizona because I was in Arizona the whole, you know, time this was all going on, and I stayed working and throwing things. So I think I left Arizona with about 65, almost 70-ish, and I've got about 5 outings here. So I'm up around 100.
Oh, wow. That's more than most guys are getting. So you got to stay in Arizona during the shutdown?
Yeah, I was one of the fortunate ones to, you know, stay in Arizona and be able to work out at the facility there. A couple of the pitching coaches stayed with us too. So it was really nice. That was also a very, very huge thing with my development too.
Were you throwing to hitters at all there, or was it just simply, you know, catchers or into a net or whatever?
Yeah, so the head hitters, the Venezuelan guys, when they shut down the border for the corona, they ended up having to stay there. So, I mean, we were fortunate enough to have catchers, and we were fortunate enough to have hitters that faced us. So, I mean, it was all live ABs. It was all very competitive, and, you know, just keep the arm moving and getting after it every day. So
you mentioned earlier talking about you're now facing more veteran guys and your teammates with more veteran guys. You got catchers who can help you. What kind of stuff have they been able to show you over the course of the last few months that you might not have gotten during a regular season?
I mean, the hitters here, they're very, very picky. I mean, obviously they're big league guys. They're, you know, they're developed, they know their plan, they know what they want to do every day. So for me, it's been more or less adjusting to, you know, being closer, you know, closer to the zone, you know, having to make the adjustment to throw my off speed in the zone for strikes, because for me, I can't just pitch with a fastball to the big leaguers. And I've known that, but to see it finally is just like, okay, like now it's time to, you know, work, throw more percentage strikes and attack guys still, like be whole strikes in the zone. And if they hit it, they hit it. But I mean, I've been fortunate enough to, you know, throw a lot of good outings here and, you know, compete very, very well and show that, I mean, I can pitch at a higher level than, you know, most guys can right now. So,
I mean, just getting selected to the alternate site, obviously you were last year mostly with Spokane and a little bit of Hickory. Like, they didn't have to bring you. They could have going with upper level guys, just what kind of honor was it to be included in a 60-man player pool when space is at such a premium?
It was amazing when I actually had got done with my outing in Arizona, and my coach called me over to do pickoffs and on the side field, and then he ended up telling me, and I was kind of waiting on it. I was, you know, praying every day that I would get there, and it was a dream come true. Obviously, it's a very, very huge honor to be here and, you know, participate with these guys and, you know, see them every day and be around the front office and be here in Texas. I mean, this state's beautiful, and be in the big league field, it's awesome. It's been amazing.
As guys, so much of our identity is wrapped up in our hair, from how it feels after getting a fresh cut to the way it's perfectly styled before going out. That's why when we get into our 20s and 30s and start noticing the first signs of hair loss, it definitely feels like panic time. Because let's face it, no guy is ever ready to go bald. Thankfully, now there's Keeps, the simple and easy way to keep your hair. Did you know 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? The best way to prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have hair left. You can get treated from home, too. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months, so you can say goodbye to pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor's visits. Keeps also offers generic versions of the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but probably never for this price. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/baseballamerica to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/baseballamerica.
Is there any particular guy in camp, now that you're basically facing the same guys over and over again, who kind of has your number, or do you have his, vice versa?
That's a good question. Me and Josh Young have been going back and forth. I think he's 3 for 9 off me, but those three hits that he's gotten off me are very, very hit hard, and they've been off the wall every time. So we've been going back and forth, me and him. So it's been a good competition.
So you get to Spokane last year, and that's typically a college heavy league. Could you tell right away that, you know, this competition was maybe a little better than you faced in the AZL or in high school, and they were maybe a little pickier than you'd faced in your life?
So honestly, I didn't see a difference in Spokane from AZL. For me, I mean, it was kind of like the same. I was cruising in Spokane. I mean, it was very, very easy for me, you know, to go out there and just be confident. Like, I didn't really get hurt in Spokane, so to say. Like, I was very competitive, and I threw a lot of strikes in Spokane. I got to Hickory. Hickory was more of a, okay, like, now I have to start throwing everything in the zone. I got a lot of, like, away with a lot of stuff in Spokane. And then Hickory, you know, kind of cut the corners off, shaved a little bit. And that's when I noticed, like, okay, these guys are a little bit more pickier. I have to be in the zone a little bit more. So that's when I noticed, like, hey, like, this is going to be a little bit more competitive. So
what kind of goals did you have for yourself coming into the year before you realized it wasn't going to be a normal year?
So my goals for this year were to obviously keep developing my changeup. And then I wanted my zone slash strike percentage to be up than it was last year.
So when you talk about your changeup too, you know, you can talk to 10 different pitchers and you might find 10 different changeup grips. What, how long did you have to go before you found one that was comfortable for you?
Oh, I don't know. I can't tell you. We changed it 4 times last year, and we might have changed it about 4 times this year. And then I found it finally when I was in Arizona and everything was shut down with my pitching coach. And I mean, it was just like night and day. I came out and it was just like, had the action, had the movement, had the, you know, the speed off of it. And it was just like the one grip, the one thing that I was looking for. And I mean, it was honestly, like, to have gone through everything and, like, finally found it, it was just like, such a weight off my shoulders, and it was such a relief to, you know, finally find it.
So what is it?
Well, it's a two-seam grip And then I just kind of slide my fingers off the side of it. And it's almost like a circle change, but it's not. And it's like, I don't have it deep in my hand. And I kind of cock the baseball sideways in it.
And, you know, what does it, is it a fade? You said it has fade, it has separation. Can you manipulate the fade when you throw it, or is it going to have consistent fade every time?
Or can you I can manipulate it. I can manipulate it. Sometimes, you know, accidentally I'm behind it more and it's just kind of like a really bad fastball. But, no, I can definitely manipulate it more. If I want it, you know, to fade a little bit more, I'll just get on the inside of it a little bit, or I'll turn it in my hand. But for me, like, development-wise, it's been a very, very huge pitch for me to learn.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about if you might go to instructs, you might not, it depends on your innings count. If you don't, I mean, what's next for you? What do you plan to do over the off season to continue developing until whenever baseball is normal again?
So this off season, I mean, I plan on taking, you know, a month or two off, probably get started around, you know, late November. I'm supposed to go out in January to California to work with one of my agencies, you know, pitching guy. I've been talking to him the whole time since, you know, this stuff has gotten shut down. I've been sending him videos. We've been FaceTiming back and forth. He's been showing me things, and I've been learning a lot from him also. So it's been pretty cool. But, I mean, this year for my off season is just gain weight, get stronger again, and, you know, be ready for next spring training when, you know, whenever this hopefully starts up again, finally.
Who is the pitching guy that you work with?
Dom Johnson.
And does he, who else does he work with? I imagine there's a lot of shared clients between your agency and you and maybe some other guys.
So he's, I know that like the most like big league guy that we have out there right now is, or we've had out there is Joe Musgrove for the Pirates. So, but I know he's worked with him and a couple other big leaguers that we have. So it's, you know, it's very fortunate for my agency to, you know, be like, hey, like we want to send you out here to work with him, because for me, like, I mean, I want to keep working, like I want to get better every day. So.
How have you been, aside from the obvious situation, have you been affected at all by COVID? I mean, do you know people who've gotten it? Are you kind of worried about it at this point? Or are you just kind of, is it just something you live with?
I mean, at this point, to me, it's just kind of something, you know, you live with. You just be careful, you be cautious about, you know, wash your hands and stay safe. I mean, we're not really allowed to do anything out here. We're just kind of, you know, secluded to our houses and our apartments. But, one of my boys actually back home had just, you know, got over it. So, and he said it was not fun.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, if you have a friend who got it, was it, you know, the light version, or was it, you know, you were really kind of worried about him, or is it somewhere in between? It was just, how was it?
He said it was more or less like a really, really bad cold. He said it was like, he was lightheaded all the time. He really just like, it was almost like a disorientation. He didn't end up losing his taste or smell, but he was just like, he said it was hard to breathe. He was nausea, like it was tough.
So does that kind of hammer home for you the need to be as safe as possible? I mean, I can understand you being a younger person, and this doesn't usually affect that segment of the population particularly hard, but did that kind of hammer home the point that, yeah, this is serious and it doesn't really care who it attacks?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've been careful, very, very careful since we've, you know, everything's been going down. Like we've took so many precautions. I've been tested so many times. I can't tell you, but, no, I've been staying very safe and, I mean, washing my hands, wearing my mask everywhere. So, you know, just trying to do everything I can to prevent myself from getting it. So.
Aside from your current facility right now, in your brief pro career, where's your favorite park to pitch?
Ooh, big league park?
I mean, I would say minor league park. Big league parks are cheating.
I really, really liked Greenville last year, the Red Sox stadium. That place was absolutely beautiful. And I honestly loved Spokane when I was there, the fan base and everything, the short porch in right field, but I mean, couldn't beat it. It was awesome. Vancouver was very, very awesome too. I love that place.
Did you have a passport already, or did you have to get one in advance of that season?
No, I had one. I got one my first year, I made sure I had one before I ended up going to Spokane. So
you got both that. What's the highlight of your pro career so far, do you think?
Highlight of my pro career. I'd have to say pitching game one against Delmarva last year in Hickory. Ended up throwing the first playoff game, and I think it was my best game I had. I ended up, scudding a little bit in the first inning. I think I gave up like one run. And then after that, I threw six shutout innings with like 15 Ks. So it was awesome. It was very, very sweet.
That must have been an incredible confidence boost going into, that's probably your last outing of the year, right?
I threw another one in Lexington.
Okay.
I threw three innings and I punched out the first nine, I believe.
Not a bad couple games to close your season. Yeah. No wonder they have you at the alternate site.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's yeah, last year was, last year was definitely a blessing for me, so.
Well, thank you very much, Ricky. I really appreciate the time you've given me today and taking out of your day out there in Texas, and hope you close the season strong and, have a nice offseason, and maybe next year COVID will just be a memory and we can get back to minor league baseball and major league baseball like it was intended, in front of fans and not at things called alternate sites.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, prayers to everybody that, has a family member that has passed away from Corona or, is sick right now, and just need to get back to our regular life and our regular world. So.
Well, awesome. Again, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. For Ricky Venasco, I'm Josh Norris. This has been another Baseball America podcast.